Today's message here is called The Nuts and Bolts of an Invitation or an Altar Call. Amen. We're going to get into the actual mechanics of what we're doing. So take your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 40. Thank you, brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 40. We're going to just read a few words right here. This, to me, is our motto when it comes to working at the altar. Here's what it says, 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. We're going to pray and then we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of an invitation or altar call. Father, thank you so much for what we've learned already over these weeks. And now as we get close to the end of this whole group of messages and the teachings on the altar and the purpose of the altar, all the things that we've talked about, help us to understand how we as your people can be more effective for you as a church when it comes to the time of the invitation and the altar call. Father, help us to remember this is your work, it's not our work. It is your church, not our church. And we must do the things that you've commanded us rather than the things we think we ought to do. So please guide us and direct us as we learn. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I stated when we first started this class that the altar call or the invitation time has been greatly maligned over the last 60 years. We've called it a place to get right with God. And we've used the altar call basically for three things: salvation, baptism, or church membership. I do think that those things are still be used for it, but that's not the only purpose for it. The purpose for it is for us to respond publicly as God has spoken to us publicly. I realize that people still have a bad taste in their mouth about coming forward in a church because they don't want to think that every time there's a service they come forward. What's wrong with that? A preacher was preaching on Sunday and he said, what's wrong with people having the King James Bible? Why does everybody who doesn't have the King James Bible get irritated with people who have the King James Bible? What's wrong with having the King James Bible? By the way, nothing. Nothing's wrong with it. You don't have to have a modern Bible, as they call them. Most modern Bibles come from a defunct, if you will, form of original language material. The average Bible today, other than the King James Bible, comes from a Westcott and Hort manuscript, which is defunct. It's been found to be filled with errors and even rejected by heathenistic groups as being the Word of God. So be careful what we reject and what we accept, because we don't always know the details of what we're accepting and rejecting. Amen? Just like these nuts are... Some nuts today in the New York Times wrote articles condemning the Republican Party because they blamed them for the attack that happened in Orlando. Now, that makes no sense to me. Just like they're blaming Christians for what happened in Orlando. No, it was a terrorist act that happened in Orlando, and we need to call it what it is so that we can address it as a nation and fix our problem. Amen? But as long as we skirt it and call it something else, we're never going to address it. Christianity is the same way. Sometimes we get all carried away with what all these other things that people have to say, and we get away from what God says. And what we need to do is get right where God's at. Amen? And do everything that He says to do. It's Jesus' church. And Jesus chose the way in which He would communicate with His church called preaching. And He calls it in His Word the foolishness of preaching. Because to the world... Are you okay, Miss Brenda? You okay? You need to step out? You need a drink of water? Okay. That's all right. Just want to make sure you're okay. No. All right. We get all carried away with some things in this world, and when Jesus has established some specific things for His church, Jesus has a purpose for His church, a work for His church, and He decided to talk to His church through the foolishness of preaching, and that's what He calls in His Word, because it is foolishness to the rest of the world. The world doesn't have to understand preaching. You don't even have to understand preaching. All you have to do is listen to it and allow God to speak to your heart through it. Amen? I don't understand preaching, and I do a lot of it. Amen? But I know that God works through it. He sends a message from heaven to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, that He speaks to the preacher as the preacher preaches. We're supposed to open our spirits. God's Spirit is supposed to witness to our spirit, and it's supposed to open up to our spirit. We're supposed to learn from that, apply what He's learned. He says it in a public forum. He expects us to respond as a public, as a group. We are His church. Who did He speak to? His church. He expects His church to respond. You read the book of Revelation. Those churches were, all seven of those churches were spoken to publicly. And all seven of those churches had an expectation on God's part, on Jesus' part, for them to respond publicly by doing something different than they had done. Some of it was praise that He gave them. Some of it was criticism that He gave them. Some of it was correction that He gave them. Some of it was warning that He gave them. But He did all of it in love, loving them and wanting the best for them and His church. We're His church. Every time our preacher gets up to preach, our purpose, his purpose, is to proclaim what the Lord has for him to give us. Some people have said over the last past two Wednesday nights, it was a God thing. That's how it was told to me by one person. It was a God thing. God just interrupted everything that was going on. And weeks ago gave me the material on the subject bitterness at the exact right time that it was supposed to be delivered. I had no idea. I had no idea God was doing what He was doing. My job isn't to figure out what God's doing. My job is to do what He says to do. Honestly, in the middle of a section of messages like this, I wasn't sure why it was in there. All I know is I was supposed to teach it during this process. So I remember on that Sunday afternoon talking to the preacher, and we were saying, he said, "So what are you going to preach on Wednesday?" I said, what part are you on? I said, "I don't know. I'm going to bitterness. We're going to talk about bitterness." I said, "It's just one of those things that happens to a lot of people that we need to deal with at the altar." So God's put it on my heart weeks ago. I got it done. I don't have it completely detailed out as far as preaching, but I got all the material written. And he said, "Well, good, I'll be praying for you." He had no idea. I had no idea what the need of our church was at that very moment. But you know who did? Jesus did. You know why? Because we're His church. His expectation for us then is to respond to what He's giving us. Amen? That's the purpose of an invitation. When we open up our spirit as a church body, that opens up the outside world to the Spirit that's in part of our body that day. We have a young man that comes to our church here. I'm not going to mention him or describe him or anything like that. I know he's lost. You want to know something else? He knows he's lost. He knows he's not saved. He has come here for a long time, knowing that he is lost and undone. And he needs to get saved. And it may be in the service that you finally let the Holy Spirit dwell through you that will reach him. And he'll walk that aisle because he surrenders to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Just like we must surrender to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. So the whole purpose of an invitation is that purpose. Because it's that purpose, we have dwelt more on salvation, baptism, and church membership as its purpose. And that's the right way. Because if a church is moving forward to pray, I don't need to run to every individual and pray for them. Amen? It's only when the Holy Spirit moves you that you should go and pray with someone. Because then He has a purpose for that. So many people aren't altar workers because they're afraid of what they might have to do up here. When the truth is that most of the things you're going to deal with will be leading someone to Christ. Because you're available to do that. Or telling somebody about church membership. Just greeting them and encouraging them. Praying for them that they've made a right decision. You're not going to talk to them about how to be a member. They're coming because they already want to be one. And so you're going to take them over to the person that's going to write things down. We might call that person a secretary. You can call them whatever you want. Okay? But there's people that we need at our invitation to simply record information. You can just call them a recorder of information because that's really what they do. My wife does that every Sunday. She comes down here for the purpose of being able not only to be available to pray with someone or lead someone to Christ or to tell someone about baptism or to speak to somebody about church membership. She comes down to record that information because we need to have a record. Amen. The record of that information is very important. My grandfather was born in 1905, I believe. 1904. His name was Rocco Luigi Marco Giuseppe. That was his born name. Rocco Luigi Marco Giuseppe. Later on in life, it was changed to Roxy Vincent Marco. And now I have the last name Marco. The only record of his birth was his baptismal record from the Catholic Church that recorded his name as Rocco Luigi Marco Giuseppe. That was the only record. Because back then they didn't use birth certificates. That's how important church records really are. I have a copy of the church record of his infant baptism, which his full name was given to him officially by his family. There have been times that we've had to chase information down on marriages and baptisms and other information for other people by church records over the years that I've been in the ministry. Church records are important. They're a paper trail. Preacher mentioned that on Sunday. Keep a paper trail, not just the finances, but of everything. Why? Because those records have value. Now, can I tell you how excited I was when I found my grandfather's real name? I knew it was changed. I didn't know what his first name was when he was born. I thought it was Roxy, R-O-X-Y. We have so many Roccos in my family. I got more Roccos than you got fingers and toes. In the Marco Giuseppe family. I mean, they're everywhere. In fact, we just had another one. My grandson, who was here at our church, his name is Rocco. Family name. Amen. He was named after my grandpa, my son's great-grandpa, my grandson's great-great-great-grandpa. Rocco. All because of church records. So when somebody comes to make a public decision that needs to be recorded, we need to have a copy of that. So we have somebody who sits up here to record that information so we can put it in our church records. That's what a church clerk's job really is supposed to be. Not just to keep minutes of a business meeting, but to keep the notes of everything our business, the church, does for Jesus Christ. So when someone gets saved, we need to have a record of that. Many years ago, my children were young. We were in evangelism. We were in West Memphis, Arkansas. I may have told this story before. I don't know. I've told it many times in my life. My daughter, Laura, won a young man to Christ. He was riding a bicycle. I taught my kids to win people to Christ by just, if you see him, talk to him. Amen. You don't have to wait to knock on a door. If somebody's out there, they're already there. They're home. Amen. And this boy was going across the riding down the street, and she said, "Hey, I want to give you something." Threw on the brakes, came around, picked up the gospel tract, invitation to church. And my daughter led him to Christ. She wrote his name down, wrote his address down, wrote his birth date down, made a record of his. That's what I taught my children. When someone gets saved, it's an important time in life. You never know how important it's going to be. Gave that information. That was on a Saturday. Gave that information on a Sunday night to the preacher. We got into our vehicle. We left for the next town. We didn't know what happened, but the preacher was sitting Monday morning going through that list of all these people, and he had a radio on in his office. And over the radio comes this news announcement about these three boys that were found murdered by devil worshippers as a blood sacrifice. And as they were reading the names, he read the name of the little boy on the paper as they read it over the radio. And they gave the address, and it was the same address.
The preacher took that piece of paper, picked up his phone, and called the phone number that the little boy had given to my daughter on that record of his salvation. And his mom answered and was weeping over the phone. He told it where he was, that he was a pastor and what church he pastored, and he had some information about her son that he believed he would find very important. And they said, "Well, then come on over, preacher." He went over and told that mom and dad that their son had received Jesus Christ just a few days before and that he was in heaven right now. Because Jesus was in his heart. Now, can I tell you how important that record was to that mama? Guess who else got saved? Mama. And Daddy. And the preacher did the funeral. For that little boy and many others in the family received Christ as their Savior because he told the story about how a little boy heard the gospel from a little girl and took Christ as a Savior. Church records are important. Church records are important. So it's important to record baptisms. Because when someone's baptized in our church, do you know what that makes them? Automatically?
Member
of our church. Automatically. If they never come back, you know what? They're a member at this church.
Amen.
Membership means something to God. Sometimes membership doesn't mean much to us. But it does to God. Because that young person, or that middle-aged person, or that elderly person that got baptized, the day they got baptized, they became a member of the Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's important. That means something in eternity. And we keep a record of that. Did you know God keeps a record of everything in heaven?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, He has two books up there that are important. The Book of Life. In the book of our deeds, what we've done. You know what my deeds say? Forgiven. They're all blotted out. All that junk is gone. Because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He keeps a record. It's important that we keep records. So during the invitation, you may not know what to do to pray for somebody. You may not be sure how to lead someone to Christ, but you could write information down, couldn't you? If someone said, I'll borrow you, Miss Linda, for just a second, okay? I'd say, Miss Linda, this young man just asked Jesus Christ as a Savior. Could you take down his name and his personal information? Well, Miss Linda could do that. But Miss Linda, no offense, Miss Linda, may not feel comfortable praying with somebody else. But she could do a good, important job. And that's to keep a record of what happened. That's why you often will see me take this record here. We keep them right up here. We fill them out, and I'll take it after I get it from the person who's recording it, and I'll give it to the preacher. That's not just for show. This now becomes a record in our church, and it goes into our books, where the greater records are kept. We keep a record of every visitor. We often keep records of visits that we've had. I mean, we keep a lot of records in our church. It's important to keep those records. So, when I say we need altar workers in our church, I'm not just talking about somebody who can pray with somebody or someone that can lead someone to Christ. I may be talking about somebody who can just record or be faithful to come every service and just sit up here in the front with a clipboard ready to hand out a little book on baptism after and give somebody and fill out some information. That's important. And you're needed. You may not feel comfortable praying with somebody, and that's okay. You may not be quite comfortable yet leading someone to Christ, and you know what? That's all right. You'll learn. But most importantly, you could be there. You could be there for me to say after someone's been led to Christ, Brother Robbie, could you take this man over to Miss Linda? And I'm going, while I deal with this person over here. They got me. We do not know what that issue is. We can fix it, but we don't know what it is. And then move on to the next person. So people are important. Sometimes somebody just needs a word of encouragement or a pat on the back or a listening ear. Amen? So let's talk about that today. Okay?
Let's talk about some of those things. We're almost done for the day, but some do's at the altar. What do we need? Okay. First of all, as an altar worker, whether you're just a recording secretary, or you're going to pray with somebody, or you just want to be somebody we can hand someone off to. Amen. Pray, come forward at the beginning of the invitation, which is at the point of the service where the preacher says, let's pray. He's done preaching. Now he's going to turn everything over to the Holy Spirit to deal with the hearts and the lives of us. After God has given them the public message he has for our church. And I encourage my wife and I, we both come forward and others, we come forward and what we do is we pray. We pray and ask God for whatever God's spoken to our heart about in the service. And we also pray for the invitation. We pray that the Holy Spirit would work in the hearts and the lives of those who need to be saved. Every service, every Sunday morning, I know there's someone here that needs to be saved. You say, how do you know that? Most of us are just regular folks and maybe we don't have visitors. Because I know someone that comes to our church every week that is not saved. And there may be others. And so I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to convince and convict people of their need to be saved. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to meet with the hearts and the lives of people. So I'm going to open up my spirit so that their spirit will be able to be opened as well. Amen? So pray before you, as you come, that God will bless the invitation time and bless you. Be clean and be neat if you're going to be an altar worker. Be clean and neat. You don't have to wear a suit and tie. You don't have to be the fanciest dressed person in the church, but we can be clean and neat. Amen. We're going to be clean and neat and presentable. Always bring a New Testament or a Bible with you forward, because the truth is maybe I need to borrow it for a second. Well, I'm showing somebody else something over here. Maybe I need to hand a Bible over here. So I always have a New Testament with me. I always have my little Heaven is for Everyone book with me so that I can easily tell folks. Bring those kind of things with you to an altar if you'll be willing to be an altar worker. So make use of your Bible when you're at the altar. If I'm going to deal with somebody at the altar, I want the individual to know the promises are from God, they're not from me. Amen? I'm going to go over some more detailed things next week, but always use your Bible when you're doing work at the altar. Plan to work with those of your own gender. Plan to work with those of your own gender. It's a very uncomfortable position for a female to be approached by a male. Or for a female to approach a male. So we want to work with people of our own gender so everybody feels comfortable. That means we need more than just one person up here. Amen? We need more than just a preacher up here. We need women that would be comfortable praying with another woman. And if I don't know that you are, and then you have made yourself available up here, then I don't know how to help. I don't know how to get you to help me during the invitation time. Amen? So we need those to work with our own gender. Be a person that individual can confide in. Do what? Be that person that the individual can feel comfortable confiding in. What does that mean? Don't betray their confidence. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 13 says this. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Nobody needs to know what anybody has told you at the altar. Never. The only time anybody knows anything is if they come for church membership, they come for baptism, or they come for salvation, or come for a rededication. Those things we make public. Or if they've been called to a full-time Christian service, we make those kind of things public. But we don't make public private information. It's not important. It's between them and God, and all you are there is to encourage them to give it to God. Amen? Be sensitive. Be sensitive. Feel what they feel. If someone's weeping, be brokenhearted with them. Weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those that do rejoice, the Bible says. So we need to be ready to weep with those who are brokenhearted over something. If sin has broken their heart, we need to pray about that with them. One week I had a lady come and we prayed at the altar because she was worried about someone in her family. Listen, there's times I'm worried about people in my family too. It's important. So if it's important to the person that's come forward, it should be important to us who are dealing with them. Amen? So be perceptive. Be perceptive. Observe what they are saying and what they're doing. Look for both the positive and negative things. Amen? If it's positive, encourage them in it. If it's negative, give them something from the Word of God that could help them. Amen? All of us need someone to pray with us from time to time. So if we are the kind of person that they can trust, then kind of individual that someone could confide in, then we should be perceptive in being able to meet that particular need. Something I missed a few moments ago. Be careful touching people. Be careful touching people. Men, always be careful about how you ever touch a woman. Always, always, always. And men, we all have to be careful how we touch. So we don't slap someone on the back. Hey, brother, good to see you at the altar. No, this is a personal time. This is an individual time. We ought to be careful how we touch them, where we touch them. Amen? It's important. We have to mention that in this generation. Amen? Always be positive in your comments. Remember I told you about wanting folks to Christ? Always be positive. When we deal with someone at the altar, we should always be positive. I got a few more and then we're going to stop for the night. Next one is, pray out loud with them. Pray out loud with them. Pray so they can hear. If you're going to pray with someone, pray for them loud enough for them to hear. Don't yell it. Don't holler it. But pray so they can hear. Amen? Sometimes they don't know how to pray. And you simply may be teaching them a way to pray. And in your... Look, you know what? We're just children. We're just God's children. Ain't none of us experts on praying. But all of us know how to ask. We've been asking ever since we were born. And all that praying is asking. We don't have to be professional prayers. Years ago, we were in a church and a fellow came up to... He was asked to be... He was called on to pray. And he wanted to be important. And he came up front, stood in the pulpit, had everybody bow their heads, and took out a piece of paper. And he read the prayer. Our great and magnificent God, we come to Thee today. Oh, that doesn't mean anything. You know what? I still think he's a fool. That's how he impressed me. I thought, how foolish. How silly. I remember the first time they called on me to pray publicly. I said, hi, God, this is Doug. Remember me? People laughed. But that's the only way I knew how to pray. Other than the formal, Our Father who art in heaven, let it be done in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily... That's all I knew. Except for me talking to God as just a regular person. And so don't be afraid. Pray out loud, but pray so they can hear you. Because you're wanting to pray that God will help them. And they can grow. Put the individual at ease. The altar worker should not interrupt the individual who is praying. If someone is praying, don't interrupt them. Let them pray. Let them pray as long as they need to pray. Let them talk to God as long as they need to talk. Amen? We don't need to interrupt people just because they've been there longer than somebody else has been there. Just because they don't stay there for the typical 32 seconds. Amen? If they're there a minute and a half, 2 minutes, 5 minutes. They're spending that time that they feel they need to spend with God. Let them do it. I might say, is there something I can help you with? And 99% of the time, you know what they're going to say, even to me, a preacher? No. They're just praying. Let them have a time. Amen. That's God's time with them. He's done something in their heart. He spoke to them. Now they're speaking back to Him. That's what an invitation is. Amen. Last thing. Avoid unnecessary doctrinal discussions. Amen. There's no need to go into any doctrine with anybody at the altar. That is not a time for it. Amen. It's not Sunday school class. It's not preaching time. It's a time in which they're praying. I don't know what their need is. You don't know what their need is. You know who knows what their need is? They do and God does. That's all that's important. And so for the average person, when it comes to altar work, we're really not going to do much for. We're not going to approach them. If somebody has an extra need, we might pray for them. We might answer a biblical question for them. How can I stop this in my life? Let me show you a scripture. Just have simple scriptures available to you. Open your Bible to them. Previously mark your Bible. Do you have Bible verses that have helped you over time? Do you? Well, that probably helped them too. Can I tell you my favorite Bible verse that I use at an altar? Jeremiah 33:3. My Heavenly Father says, call unto me. And I will answer thee. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You just keep praying and asking Him to help you in this area. And He promises He will. By the way, that is a Bible promise. Is that right? I keep that marked. I don't know just here. I want to show it to them in the Word of God. So I have my Bible marked with that verse. Just anything like that that has helped you, it's going to help somebody else too. So you don't have to be a great expert. Does that make sense? You don't have to be the best soul winner in the church. Shoot, you don't even have to be a good soul winner. You could record names. You could be praying at the beginning of the invitation that God blesses the invitation. You could be sitting there praying in the seat. Because actually we should have it 1, 2, 3, at least 4 recorders available in every section of our church, every service. I'm going to say one more thing and I'm done for tonight, okay? God always provides for those who are ready. God never gives to those who are not ready. What do you mean? When did you get saved? When you were ready. When did you spend time with God? When you were ready. When did you come to the altar to make a change in your life? When you were ready. A church that's not ready to do something for God, God doesn't give them a bunch of baby Christians. I'll tell you why. You're not ready for them. If you're not ready to help them, then God's not going to give them. Makes sense? God's not going to make the altar a great time of feasting and reception unless we're ready for it. We're not ready. Honest. So we should be ready. So by the time this course is over, which is going to be in about 2 weeks, you should be asking God between now and then, what would you have me to do? Would you have me to work at the altar? Would you be willing to take a name? Would you be willing to take a step from your seat and pray with somebody if need be? Would you be willing to take someone to the welcome to the baptismal if you needed to? Would you be willing to give somebody a baptismal record? Would you be willing to just look at somebody and say, congratulations, I'm glad you joined in the church. I know you've made the right decision. I love this church. And be willing to stand with them up here. Because sometimes we're just looking for somebody that will stand with somebody so they don't feel alone. You've seen that here, right? So we need to be prepared then, don't we? The more prepared and ready we are, the more God will provide the growth. But if we're not ready, He won't provide it because we don't seem to care. Amen. Father, thank you for what we've learned today. Thank you for the way you love.